Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope that you and your family and your friends are staying healthy. Hope you're enjoying maybe a little bit of the change of the season. Is it starting to get a little bit cooler there? Starting to cool off here just a little bit in the state of Colorado, but we are happy to have you here with us today. And you know, today, September 23rd, is a day that we probably need to discuss, because you might not realize this, but September 23rd is Teal Talk Day. Teal Talk Day. You know the color teal? Teal Talk Day. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what in the world is Teal Talk Day? Well, it's actually something kind of serious, because each year, over 249,000 women are diagnosed with ovarian cancer worldwide. So they say on Teal Talk Day, you should gather some friends or some family. Maybe you wear teal. Maybe you just meet on a Zoom call and you talk about the risks of ovarian cancer. Doesn't matter if you're male or female, because here's the thing. We all have mothers. We all have wives, daughters, sisters, whoever it might be, and they are all at some sort of risk for ovarian cancer. So they say we should all have the teal talk. Since no standard screening exists for ovarian cancer, they say that awareness actually gives you your best defense. The talk takes very little time. Have a teal talk over lunch. Have a teal talk over a Zoom call. Because they say in that time, approximately 28 women will receive an ovarian cancer diagnosis. So when you have that talk, let them know early detection improves survival rates by 90%. That's not a small percent. That's a huge percent. So you want to make sure that the women in your life know the symptoms: persistent bloating, lack of energy, loss of appetite, feeling fuller really, really soon. And they say don't hesitate to see a doctor if you have those symptoms. Teal Talk Day, a really important subject, but something you might want to discuss with the females in your life. Now, while we are on the subject of the color teal, which I guess is the official color of ovarian cancer, well, you know we have to bring this back to sports somehow. So I gotta ask you if you remember this. Do you remember when every expansion pro sports team coming out insisted on making the color teal part of their color scheme? Oh, it was terrible. It was a rough time. In fact, there was a stretch there where every single new team coming out had either teal or purple in their color scheme. I mean, think about it. Back in 1991, the San Jose Sharks were teal. In 1993, the Florida Marlins were teal. The Colorado Rockies were purple. The Anaheim Mighty Ducks were teal. In 1995, the Jacksonville Jaguars took teal. Also in 95, the Vancouver Grizzlies were teal. Meanwhile, the Toronto Raptors were purple. In 96, the Baltimore Ravens took purple. And the Phoenix Coyotes actually took both teal and purple. You even had existing teams taking on teal. The Detroit Pistons wore teal for a while. So did the Seattle Mariners. I don't know the reason for the trend of teal in pro sports, but it happened. And today, on Teal Talk Day, I gotta tell you, I'm really, really glad it's over. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us your favorite ugly sports uniform of all time. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you're bored. Maybe you just want to talk some sports. Maybe you have a sports question or some feedback for the show. Reach out to us. We would love to hear what you have to say. Also, be sure to stop by dailydosesports.wordpress.com. Got a couple of new things over there. Got a link where you can go buy some Daily Dose gear over there. Make sure you stop by that. Hey, remember, we do now place a video portion of the podcast on YouTube, so you can subscribe to the Daily Dose channel on YouTube, but you can also go to dailydosesports.wordpress.com. You can find the podcast. You can find the video all at one place. Hey, and as long as you're doing a lot of that online shopping, stop by tpublic.com and pick up some Daily Dose gear. They've got a ton of sales going on over at tpublic.com, and they've got a lot of different items, from social distancing masks to sweatshirts to t-shirts to hoodies. The cool thing about ordering clothing from tpublic.com, You can pick it in whatever color you want, but we've got a lot of gear over there with our Daily Dose logo on it, so make sure that you stop by and you pick that up. Hey, today on the show, we are actually going to be bringing you our 2020 college football preview. A longtime friend of the show is going to be stopping by and helping us get ready for the college football season, because, you know, it seems to be ramping up a little bit every single week. Do you realize the Southeastern Conference gets going this week? We're going to start getting more and more college football, and it's going to be wild. We're going to be taking a look at each of the conferences, you know, that are actually playing. And we're going to be looking at who the top teams are, who the contenders are, who the champions will be. We will even give you which four teams will be going to that college football playoff. We've got a lot to get to today on the Dose, but we do have some sports news that we need to get to first. And you know, we're actually going to talk college football today on the show. So let's start there, where the news came out that Deion Sanders is going to be the next head football coach at, wait for it, Jackson State University. He announced that on Sunday on his new podcast. God called me to Jackson State, is what Sanders said on the episode. Now, Sanders was voted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame following an amazing NFL career, during which he also played Major League Baseball. But Sanders is going to be a first-time head coach at the collegiate level. Now, remember, after last season, Florida State fired their head coach, Willie Taggart. And Deion was kind of throwing his name out there as a candidate for that job. Of course, we know he didn't even get an interview. So now he takes the Jackson State job. And I'm sure a lot of people are looking at this as like a lesson in humility for Deion. You thought you were Florida State level? You thought you were ACC level? You had to take the job at the FCS 1AA level in the SWAC. That's a big step down. But let's stop and let's think about how things are going right now in Tallahassee. Because Florida State instead hired new head coach Mike Norvell. Players said in the offseason that Norvell was lying about testing and health protocols concerning the virus. The Seminoles then opened their season this year with a 16-13 loss to Georgia Tech. And now Norvell has tested positive for the virus. He's not even going to make the trip to Miami for their big rivalry game this weekend against the Hurricanes. Yeah, I think I'd rather be Jackson State. Florida State is an absolute mess right now. I think Deion's doing just fine. Moving over to the NFL. Hey, we knew there were going to be a ton of injuries this year. But wow, this is getting ridiculous. San Francisco 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa is gone for the year with a torn ACL. So is New York Giants running back Saquon Barkley. Carolina Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey will be out at least a month with a high ankle sprain. Niners quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo sprained his ankle too. Indianapolis Colts safety Malik Hooker blew his Achilles. Washington offensive lineman Brandon Scherff has a knee injury, and he is going to be put on the injured reserve list. And here in Denver, wide receiver Cortland Sutton is out for the year after wrecking his knee, and quarterback Drew Locke has a shoulder sprain that will have him sitting for, they say, around a month. Now, hopefully, as players start to get into playing shape, these injuries start to slow down. But it's bad. It's really bad. And in fact, yesterday, the Denver Broncos went out and signed free agent quarterback Blake Bortles to provide some depth. They gave Bortles a one-year deal. Now, I know that here on the Dose, sometimes I give Broncos GM and all-time great John Elway a hard time. But I mean, come on! I want you to think about this. What do these quarterbacks I'm going to name have in common? Mark Sanchez, Brock Osweiler, Paxton Lynch, Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, and Blake Bortles. Yes, I know. They're all terrible. But they have one other thing in common, because John Elway selected each one of them specifically. Not only did he pick them, but then he thought they were so good, he wouldn't need an offensive line for them either. Just tell me this. Tell me John Elway's not drunk every single day of his life. And you know, it's one thing to defile yourself drinking every day, but now you're making all of us Bronco fans drink too after watching this terrible team.
So I says, yeah, if you want that money, come and find it, because I don't know where it is, you baloney. You make me wanna retch.
Switching over to Major League Baseball, where the regular season is nearly complete, but it was announced over the weekend that Houston Astros right-handed pitcher Justin Verlander is set to undergo Tommy John surgery. Verlander hasn't pitched since his season debut back on July 24th, but he said on an Instagram video that he felt something in his elbow during a simulated game this week, and that after consulting with doctors, Tommy John surgery was determined to be his best option. That's bad news for the Astros, who are in the playoff race. And they would benefit from a pitcher like Verlander in the postseason, which is coming so quickly. But as bad as that is, Houston actually had some more bad news this week, and this might be worse. Not sure if you saw this, but the Astros also announced earlier this week that their number one trash can would also need lid surgery, and they're going to have to place that trash can on the injured reserve list. Hey, that's a huge hit to the Astros' chances this year. We hope that their trash can heals up well and can get back to form next year. One final story that you may have missed, and it comes from the WNBA. That's right, kids. We're going to talk some WNBA this week on The Dose, because former WNBA MVP Maya Moore has announced that she has married a man that she helped free from prison. A year and a half ago, Moore, a four-time WNBA champion and two-time Olympic gold medalist, stepped away from the game. She said she was putting her career on pause to devote her time to the case of Jonathan Irons, a wrongfully convicted man who was more than two decades into a 50-year prison sentence on charges of breaking into a home and shooting the homeowner. Now, the homeowner actually survived the shooting, and no physical evidence had ever connected Irons to the crime. A judge ruled in March that the prosecution had suppressed fingerprint evidence that could have helped exonerate him. And this past summer, Moore's work, and that of many others, finally paid off when Irons was released from prison on July 1st. Now, Moore fans who had followed this whole story were a little bit surprised to find out that they had some sort of romantic relationship. And you know, this is actually a cool story. I mean, Maya Moore sacrificed her playing career in professional basketball to help free the man that she had apparently fallen in love with. Still, you know, they might not like know each other completely. I mean, she's been playing basketball. He's been in jail. There are things in any marriage, in any relationship, that you learn about people that you don't know until you live with them. That's true in every relationship, but it's especially true here. I mean, this guy doesn't know if Maya, I don't know, puts the cap back on the toothpaste every night. And she doesn't realize that he likes to make Pruno in the toilet. It's an adjustment, is what I'm saying. And that is just living together. Because in dating and those kind of things, it's not real life. I mean, think about this poor guy. He's unjustly accused. He gets out. He marries this professional basketball player, and he wakes up in a nice, comfy, soft bed, and he asks Maya Moore, "Hey, can I get a limo ride to the gym today? I want to go work out." And she goes, "I don't have a limo. What are you talking about? But you've played for years in the WNBA. You're a champion. Like, you're a big-time player." "Yeah, I know. And I made like $15,000 a year." He's like, $15,000? "I made almost $15,000 making license plates. Didn't you have, I don't know, endorsements or something?" And she's going, "Yeah, I did. If you go to Arby's, they'll upsize your curly fries, but that's it. Like, that's all I have." Hey, marriage is tough. We wish Maya Moore and Jonathan Irons the best going forward. Hey, they say all marriages are made in heaven. But remember, so is thunder and lightning. So good luck. Okay, coming back, we are going to be joined by president of the Daily Dose I-Team. Yes, Big Rob is going to stop by to dig into the 2020 college football season. Hey, we know not every conference is playing, at least not yet. It sounds like a number of them may still be coming. But here's the question, does that matter? How exactly is this season going to look? Well, I know there are a lot of detractors that are going to say, "Well, this season's too weird. I'm not watching." But I'm telling you, I actually think this season can still be really fun. We will be breaking down the 2020 college football season when we get back. Joining us right now on the Daily Dose, a longtime friend of the show and Do not forget the acting president of the Daily Dose I-team that investigates the big stories and gets the information that no one else can get. Yes, Big Rob is joining us today to preview what is already just a weird and bizarre college football season. But hey, games are underway and they are ramping up. Rob, thanks so much for joining us today on The Dose.
Oh, of course. Good to be here. Always, always a pleasure.
Rob, with all the sports that are now back on, I mean, you think about this past weekend. We had the U.S. Open, the NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup final, college football, NFL, MLB, NASCAR, MMA. It might be the busiest time in sports history. Here is my question. What are you finding yourself watching the most of right now in September?
Pretty much everything, actually, because it's on all the time. So it starts early. You've got the NBA late. You've got baseball to cover you through the day. And you've got the NBA coming in late and hockey. So, I mean, you can pretty much turn on the TV around noon and just let it ride out all day.
I'm doing the same thing. And you know what? It's getting really bad because on like the weekends, I'm already bad in football season. I almost feel like I'm trying to glom onto whatever I can. I'm watching every single second. Like I'm watching Troy State and Middle Tennessee State. I have no reason to watch that horrible game. I'm like, no, it's football. I'm watching it. I don't even care. I'm watching everything.
Yeah, same here. As soon as the game's on, we just put them on. And they've actually been, there's been quite a few good games. Probably some games I wouldn't normally watch or wouldn't normally check out. But, you know, it's football. It's finally back. And like I said, some of them have been pretty good.
Well, and you know, the NFL, I know we're going to talk college football today, but the NFL, I know they don't have fans yet, but it has been fun to watch because when you're just watching the games themselves, it looks like just regular football. It doesn't look weird. Every once in a while, you'll catch that crowd shot and you're like, oh yeah, it's an empty stadium. But for the most part, it looks, it feels, it sounds like real football. The NFL so far, I'm all in on it.
Yeah, same here. I'm a fantasy football guy too. So, you know, turn on the red zone station and you really can't tell a lot of times, you know, with red zone, they just jump right to the red zone, right to the scoring play. So it, you know, it actually feels normal.
Rob, I want to talk about a couple of things that are going to be different this year because we know after much delay, college football has gotten started. But like I said, it's going to be different. There's no way it can't be. For one, most teams are just playing conference schedules. Now that might sound bad. It sounds kind of weird. Oh, you're not going to play those out-of-conference games. But I know from my days coaching, you know from your days playing, your conference teams know you so much better than anyone else you could possibly play. You might be able to run some stuff that out-of-conference teams wouldn't recognize. But your conference teams, they're like calling out your plays before you even run them. They hear the call and they're like, oh yeah, here's what they're running. They know you so well. This might make for insanely competitive games just playing within your conference.
Yeah, I would agree because it is a shortened schedule and it's just the conference games. And then, like you said, just that rivalry aspect of, you know, playing that team year in, year out. And now it kind of means just a little bit more. You know, I think we will have, you know, a lot of tight games.
We're seeing it in the NFL. We're seeing a lot of those soft tissue injuries. We talked about that before the season. You're going to have injuries because these guys have not had these offseason camps, this offseason training, these offseason workouts to get their bodies in shape. We're seeing a bunch of injuries. We saw a bunch of them in the NFL over the weekend. Some significant major injuries. I'm really worried we're going to see the same thing in college football. I hope it doesn't happen, but I'm really worried for a lot of these kids.
Yeah, they are a little younger. So, you know, hopefully that may help them a little bit, you know, just, you know, with the NFL older guys, you know, if you've been playing for that long, 6-7 seasons, you know, your body just naturally stiffens up a little bit more where the break could hurt you. So maybe, you know, with the younger kids, just being younger, we can avoid, hopefully avoid some of those injuries.
Rob, probably the biggest story in college football is going to be this. Who's playing and who isn't playing? The ACC and the Big 12 got started about 2 weeks ago. No major matchups just yet, but they got started. The AAC is playing. The SEC is starting this weekend and last week. It was announced that the Big Ten would get started in kind of late October. I think they're going to start October 24th. Now, they are saying the Pac-12 could get going. The Mountain West could get going. The MAC could get going. A few thoughts on this. First off, I think the SEC probably played the smarter than anyone because they postponed, they waited, whereas the Big Ten, the Pac-12, they were in such a big hurry to announce, hey, we're not going to play. Well, now you look like idiots because you're flip-flopping your decisions. Let's be real clear about one thing. There was no new medical evidence that they got. We can all pretend that there was. They're playing because they were watching the other leagues play and they were like, oh wait, so they're going to get paid for these games? Oh yeah, we want in on this too. They want that money. So no one should get this twisted. The Big Ten and the Pac-12 have botched this in a big way. I don't know how much people are talking about that, but I'm like, you guys didn't have to make a decision. There was no one holding a gun to your head. You could have waited like the SEC did.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely jumped the gun. Like I said, you didn't need to make that decision when you did. You know, wait and see. The season was still a couple months off. So, you know, I don't know what the rush was to make that, to decide that.
I'm not sure what that was either. And they haven't been transparent about it. Like, they've kind of tried to hide that. And what were the reasons? Did you have any reasons? Oh, we don't want to talk about those just yet. Well, what does that even mean? Just come out and tell us what the reasons were if you had them. I don't know what that was about. That was weird to me. Second, there are going to be a number of people. And you and I are sports fans. We're huge college football fans. So we're like going to watch. If it's on, we're going to watch it. But there are people who are going to say, hey, this season is bad. This season is dumb because not all conferences are playing. And I understand that. But here's the thing. Everyone who realistically had a chance to play for a title is going to be playing this year. Sorry, Pac-12. Sorry, I don't know, MAC or Mountain West. If you don't play, it really doesn't affect anything. Like, I feel terrible for the kids and the fans and the coaches. Bottom line, your leadership is failing you. You can go play, I don't know, spring intramurals if you want to, or start in November, whatever silly plan you have, whatever. The Pac-12 wasn't going to win anything this year anyway, so who cares if they are going to play or not? It makes no difference. They don't have a team capable of going to that big-time level.
Yeah, I agree. Like you said, the people that would say that would probably come from a Pac-12 or a Mountain West, but pretty much all, you know, all the big boys would be in there. So if we make it through the season, you know, that's probably would have been there regardless.
Yeah, I think we have. I was glad to see the Big Ten come back because I would have felt bad for like an Ohio State. We'll talk about some of those teams that are out there in the Big Ten. There's a couple out there that can challenge. I would have felt bad for those. But if the Pac-12 doesn't play, like, who cares? What was Stanford going to do? Something? Washington State was really going to make a statement. I'm not worried about the Pac-12. They weren't going to do anything. I do think we are starting to see teams can play safely. I do think big-time teams are now going to play, and that's great news. Here's the bad news. We could see postponements. We could see cancellations. We saw this past weekend. Houston versus Baylor game gets canceled, not because kids had the virus, because they had contact with someone who did have the virus, so they canceled the game, and I guarantee that's not going to be the last time. It's going to be a wild year, but I do think we can still see some good football. We can see some really good players. We might see some very, very entertaining games. Rob, if you are ready, let's jump into the ACC. Let's talk about the Atlantic Coast Conference, where the Clemson Tigers, Rob, they are rolling. Clemson has now won 5 straight ACC titles. They have either won the national championship or played in the national title game 4 of the past 5 years. Can anyone in the ACC knock off the Tigers this year? It's going to be very, very tough. But before we get to naming our champ, Rob, do you have any contenders in the Atlantic Coast Conference for us today?
Yes, I got a couple for you. I'm going to start with the first one. I'm going to say Notre Dame,
yep,
which I guess we're counting as ACC this year.
Yeah, they're playing in the ACC. They're saying that they're not officially like an ACC team going forward, but they're playing in the ACC this year, and I have Notre Dame too. Hey, they've got some talent. There's no question about that.
Yeah, talented team. They've had 3 10-win seasons the past 3 years. So this is a quality program, consistent, and it's going to be kind of one of the themes for me going through this is, you know, established programs, good head coaches, good structure. With all the uncertainty, I mean, I think that's the kind of team that, you know, it's going to be a benefit for those type of programs.
Really good point. Because if you have a program that doesn't have that solid leadership in a year like this, where there's going to be weirdness and there's going to be uncertainty, if you don't have a guy that's going to stand up there and say, hey, this is how we do things, this is how we roll, this is our leader, you're going to struggle because it's going to be kind of funky. I have Notre Dame as well. And, you know, same reasons. Good leadership. Brian Kelly has done a very, very good job. Quarterback Ian Book is back for, I don't know, his 15th or 19th season or whatever. Most of his offensive line is back. Here is my concern for the Irish. I've watched them play 2 games so far against way inferior teams. They beat Duke and they beat South Florida and they blew them both out. I just don't see a ton of explosion from their skill positions. Notre Dame's going to be good. I'm just looking at their running backs, their wide receivers, and I'm like, I don't see like a difference maker. I don't see a guy that we see on some of the other big time teams. Like you said, I think Notre Dame will be a contender. I think they'll be right there. They'll be good. I don't know if they'll be great. I've got Notre Dame as well. I've got a couple other contenders. I'm going to throw out a team, and Rob, I'm probably going to regret this. It's been a while. I think it would be good for college football if they are a contender. I don't think they quite have the juice, but the Miami Hurricanes, I'll put them out there just because of electric transfer quarterback Derek King. I just think the Hurricanes, they've got a lot of other holes to fill around King before they can really do a whole lot.
Yeah, well, I had them on my list as well. I mean, I think they definitely have the talent. I think they've always had the talent. And I just think there's been a coaching / leadership problem there.
For sure.
Over the past couple seasons. And also early on, past couple seasons, it seems like they stumble early. Like there's always a lot of hype and they stumble very early in the season. And then it just kind of goes downhill from there. But they're off to a good start. So maybe, you know, that's the turnaround that they need to keep it rolling.
Well, and they do have that turnover chain. So if somebody fumbles and they happen to land on it, then they get a turnover chain that they get to run around with. Thank God we have that monstrosity going in college football. You know what I worry about with Miami? Because Coach Manny Diaz, he's one of those guys we're kind of talking about. He hasn't been there so long to make this super stable situation in Miami where everyone just goes, no, we know how this all rolls. We know how Manny does business. They haven't seen him for a long time just yet. I could see them having success, but if they stumble, I could see kind of the bottom falling out a little bit just because they haven't had that stable program like you talked about before. So I would put Miami as a contender. I will not make them a champ, but I think they've got talent. They've got a lot of ability there. We'll see what Miami does with it. Do you have any other contenders for the ACC?
Yeah, we got one more for you. This is a deep one too. Virginia Tech.
Oh, you're going to go with the Hokies.
Yeah, they returned 8 starters from last year. Quarterback Hendon Hooker has some talent. And I think that's a team, again, I don't think they'll win it all, but I think that could be a surprise team kind of in the right direction that could be interesting this year.
They have to be due at some point. Virginia Tech has been struggling the last few years. You would think at some point, they're going to figure some things out. They're going to get rolling a little bit. Yeah, I like that Virginia Tech piece. I'm going to actually pick a different team. I'm going to go with one more contender, and that's going to be the North Carolina Tar Heels. Don't forget the Tar Heels took Clemson to overtime last year. They should be a little bit better this year. Quarterback Sam Howell is now a sophomore. I'll say this. Head coach Mack Brown, I don't know how much true like game coaching he's doing. I don't know if he's calling plays. I don't know that he's calling defenses. He's doing a great job of surrounding that program with 5-star talent. Now, I think they're going to need another year, 2 years, a little bit down the road to really get all that talent together. But I really like what Mack Brown is doing at North Carolina. Like I said, I don't think they're going to win a championship unless everything falls just perfectly for them. But I do think they are on the rise and they could be a pain for a number of teams in the ACC. So is that all your contenders? Do you have next up your champ?
Yeah, champ is all I got left.
I in the same way, and we already know we both have the same champ, don't we?
It's got to be Clemson.
Yeah, the champ of the ACC is going to be the Clemson Tigers. Rob, they look really good. Quarterback Trevor Lawrence is going to be the first player taken in the NFL draft. But here's the thing. It's not just him. As good as he is, running back Travis Etienne is back. The defensive line is back. The Clemson Tigers are rolling, and I don't see it stopping anytime soon.
Yeah, and like we mentioned before, I mean, that's a program that's been consistently good, you know, the past 5-6 years. It's a deep roster, which is another thing, you know, with all the COVID and, you know, maybe missing people or losing people at a time. It's a deep program. So, you know, that'll be something that'll help them in the long run as well.
This is going to sound insane. I'm going to still say it. They are saying that most of the Clemson team has up to this point already tested positive for the virus. Is there any advantage to like the fact that they could have herd immunity? We don't know exactly how that's all going to work out, but I'm like, no, everyone else could be sitting on the sideline and Clemson could still be playing because they're saying they've already all had it. I've heard that with Clemson. I've heard that with LSU too. I don't know if that's true. I guess we're going to see. We're going to have to find out how herd immunity, all that works. But if that's the case, Clemson might be playing every single game and they don't even care because they've already had it. I don't know. That's going to be wild to see if it ends up coming down to that at some point this year.
Yes, especially you know, later in the year if we get to playoffs and they somehow go up against a Big Ten school. I mean, with the
right,
they want to play them.
Right, and then they're like, "Oh yeah, we're going to have to forfeit that game." Well, hey, we've already had it. Cough on us all you want. We don't care. Like, I don't know, Clemson might have a sneaky advantage there. Kind of a wild advantage we could see in this weird global pandemic situation here, but we'll see. Let's move on to the Big 12. And the Big 12 has been another one horse race lately. The Oklahoma Sooners have won the last 5 Big 12 titles. For as much as we always hear about the Texas Longhorns, do you realize Texas has not won the Big 12 since 2009? So Rob, who are the contenders in the Big 12 this season before we get to our champion?
Well, since you mentioned Texas, I will say them. I don't believe it, but I feel like every year we are somehow told that Texas is back.
Yes, we keep hearing it every single year. You know what? I'll say this. it's a little more muted this year. Like, it's a little more quiet. Last year, they were saying that Texas is a contender for the playoff. And you and I both came on the show. We did the college football preview. We both laughed and had a great laugh. We pointed at Texas and said, they don't have a prayer. And then they went 8-5 and played in the Alamo Bowl. This year, it's a little bit quieter. I could see Texas actually being a little bit better this year. I just don't know that they're that much better where they can actually take that next step up to like a college football playoff or something like that.
Agreed. Yeah. Like I said, I think they'll be decent. You know, they'll be in every game, but yeah, I just don't think they're ready to actually take over.
No, I don't either. I've got a contender for you. And Rob, I know you went there. I know they missed out on a bowl game completely last year, but West Virginia might be sneaky good in the Big 12. I don't think they can win it, but this will sound weird. West Virginia actually has a decent defense. If they can get some decent offensive line play, they don't probably have a chance to win the Big 12, but they can be a pain. They can be a team you don't want to face because they're going to play defense, and we know they can probably score some points here or there. I think West Virginia is a little bit sneaky.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Coaching change, I think we're in the second or third year now, and that's usually the time, you know, you've got your own recruits in, and if you're going to make that step forward or that change, this is about that time that it starts to happen.
Sure. I like the way that West Virginia is going. I don't think they can win anything huge this year, but you better not sleep on West Virginia. And you know, you go in there, it's going to be a dogfight when you go there, because it's a tough place to play.
Oh, yeah. Morgantown. Yeah, it's always been a tough place to play. And like you said, they're on the rise now. You know, I think that program might be turning back around. So, yeah, that's a good one. I like that one.
So I have Texas. I have West Virginia. Do you have another contender in the Big 12?
I do. My next one is Texas Tech.
Oh, wow. You're going off the list here. I didn't know you had Texas Tech. That's a good one.
Yep, Texas Tech. They actually play Texas coming up this weekend, 9/26. And I feel like the winner of that game, Texas or Texas Tech, you know, is kind of going to be in the driver's seat. I think if whoever comes out of that game on top is going to have nice momentum going through the season.
For sure. I've got another contender here, and it might be one that you have. I don't know. It wasn't a great offseason for Oklahoma State, because head coach Mike Gundy kept getting in trouble. He nearly got fired. I didn't know if he was even going to be out there. I thought Oklahoma State might just be, yeah, okay, enough's enough. Let's get rid of this clown. But the Cowboys have a lot of talent. Wide receiver Tylan Wallace, he's going to be playing on Sundays. Running back Chuba Hubbard is explosive. The defense is actually better than you might think. And yet, here's what I wonder. Because of all the things around Mike Gundy, if they lose a game or if they face a lot of adversity, I could see Oklahoma State falling apart really, really fast and everyone just going on their own agenda.
Yeah, you don't know how that controversy really ended internally. There was, you know, a lot going on back and forth. They say everything's okay. And then, like I said, as long as you're winning, it's fine. But, you know, if you do stumble up or have a bad loss, that's when it could really fall apart if it wasn't really patched up in the first place.
Yeah, because you don't know if they just kind of swept it aside and say, hey, let's just focus on football and that's all fine. I get it. But at some point, you're probably going to have to step in and say, we can't have some kind of nonsense hanging over our program. If things go bad, they could go sideways really, really quick in Stillwater. That is the last contender I have in the Big 12. Do you have another Big 12 contender?
No, that was my third one as well.
So then we're going with the same champion, aren't we?
I think we are.
Rob, this is all going to go chalk, isn't it? Yeah, we're both going to go with the Oklahoma Sooners as the champions. Rob, head coach Lincoln Riley, he just plugs in a new quarterback every single year, and they don't just go out and look good. They go out and they win a Heisman.
Yeah, they've been rolling for a while. I got a stat here since 2015. They are 41-4 in the conference. And so, I mean, I don't see any reason why that should stop now. Like I said, it's just been a plug-and-play system for the past 3-4 years. And, you know, solid plug-ins as well. I mean, it's not just whoever they're putting in is a player just playing.
Well, and they bring in a guy this year. He's really talented. Spencer Rattler takes over this year at quarterback. Rattler has more pure talent than Jalen Hurts. I've seen both of them play. Rattler has a ton of talent. Here is the problem that I could possibly see for Oklahoma. One, the Big 12 is starting to catch up to them. We see some of these other teams. Texas has to eventually start getting better. We see the West Virginias, the Oklahoma States, the Texas Techs. They've got to catch up at some point on some level. Here is the one concern that I have for Oklahoma, and maybe this is just me. Spencer Rattler, there is a chance. He's extremely talented. He might prove to be an absolute idiot. Because don't forget, he got kicked out of high school for doing some stupid nonsense. I don't know. I think it was a rumor of marijuana or something. I hope he learned from that. but I would imagine he probably didn't. He probably just thinks he's smarter than everyone else. The Sooners are going to be very, very good, but if all their hopes are pinned on him, I don't know how much I can trust him until he can prove that we can trust him. Talented guy. When you see him, if you haven't watched this kid play yet, he was on one of those shows, QB1 or something. This kid's got a ton of talent. I just don't know how much I can trust him. He's kind of a goofy kid. He's kind of a screw around kid. Insanely talented, though. He's a gamer. Their game versus Texas on October 10th is going to be huge. We both have Oklahoma looking as our Big 12 champion. Everything's going chalk so far to this point, Rob. Okay, coming back, we still have to get over to the Big 10, which has now announced that they are returning. Who are the teams to watch over there? Plus, we still got to get to the SEC as well. We've got to get to our Heisman picks, and we have to get to our picks for the college football playoff. We will get to all of those when we get back. We now continue our conversation with Big Rob, and we are jumping into the Big Ten Conference. We move next to the Big Ten, a conference that just a few weeks ago told us they would not be playing football this season, and they would not reconsider playing football this season. It's just too darn dangerous, and here in the Big Ten, we actually care about our student-athletes. And then they saw the ACC and the Big 12 start up, and they were like, hold up, we like money too. Screw the kids. So the Big Ten will be playing 8 conference-only games that will culminate with a Big Ten championship game in hopes of getting a team to the college football playoff. Hey, there's no doubt the Big Ten has some really talented teams. Rob, I've got 2 contenders and a champion. What contenders do you have in the Big Ten this year?
My first one is going to be Wisconsin.
Yep, same here.
Again, kind of like we mentioned before, this is one of those programs that's consistent. You know they're going to run the ball. You know, it's going to be a good defense. So again, with all the chaos surrounding this season, you know, that's a program I can trust.
Well, and it helps that they play over on the western side of that conference. So their only true competition is probably going to be like Minnesota. But Wisconsin, like you said, they go out and they just kind of do what they do. They have a huge offensive line. They run the football really effectively. They win 10 games every year, and then they get blown out when it really matters. But that's not what we're going to talk about right now. We're going to dwell on the positive. Wisconsin just rolls out, and they're good. They're solid every single year. And for that reason, they've got to be a contender. How many more contenders do you have, Rob?
I got one more.
I do too, and I bet it's going to be the same one. Who do you have next?
I got Michigan.
It's not the same one. You've got the Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah, they've let me down in the past couple seasons, and I just think finally it's a time where there's not so much pressure on them, so many expectations because of the whole COVID no season, and maybe they can now finally get it together.
That's a really good point. Lack of pressure on a team like a Michigan, on a team like a Texas this year. Hey, we didn't even know if we're going to get a play. We're finally getting to play. All pressure's off. Let's just go out and play. Maybe that helps a team like Michigan go out and finally achieve what their talent is, because, hey, Michigan has a ton of talent. When I look at their defense, that should be an elite defense. They play press. They attack you. They come after your quarterback. They only have one problem. As soon as they face a big dog like an Ohio State or something, all that pressing, if you make one mistake, it gets blown up and it looks terrible because you're giving up 47 points in a big game. But no, maybe that's a good call. Michigan could do some things. At some point, Jim Harbaugh has to do something, doesn't he?
You would think so. And like you said, maybe, you know, he can finally, maybe he can finally concentrate this time because he doesn't have all that additional pressure on him.
Yeah, that's a good call. I like that one. You know, I'm going to put a different contender up there. I'm going to go with Penn State. And I think they're right there. I think last year, Penn State missed quarterback Trace McSorley a little more than maybe they expected to. And I think that really hurt them, because he was just such a good leader. I don't know if he's a great quarterback, but he's a tough kid. He was a leader. He got it done in crunch time. But this year, quarterback Sean Clifford, we were starting to see some improvement out of him. I really like James Franklin. I think he's got a great program going in Penn State. If they continue to improve, the Nittany Lions, I think, can contend to win the Big Ten. Not just a team author out there. No, I think if things fall right, Penn State could actually win it. They face Ohio State on Halloween in what is going to be a huge, huge game. So we've got a few contenders in the Big Ten. But once again, Rob, are we going to agree on the Big Ten champion?
I think so.
Yeah, it's got to be Ohio State, doesn't it?
It is Ohio State once again.
They are loaded. They're really, really good. They have more talent than anyone in the Big Ten. They're extremely well coached under head coach Ryan Day. Quarterback Justin Fields is one of the best quarterbacks, one of the best players in the country. He can beat you in a few different ways. I think Ohio State is the best team in the Big Ten. Some things are going to have to fall weird for them to not win the Big Ten. I just think they're that good.
Yeah, I would agree. And it feels to me, too, it seemed like they had the most motivation to come back. Like when it was announced, that's who I heard the most saying that, no, we want to play, or can we rethink this, or can we look at this? So I just, you know, that motivation and energy from that team, you know, I think you got to account for that, too.
Well, and when you think back to that, when you think back to Ohio State and the way their season ended last year, they lose against Clemson in a little bit of a controversial game. Everyone was kind of, you know, should that have gone Clemson's way? Should that have gone Ohio State's way? Clemson gets the break. Ohio State goes home. You know, they had to be thinking all offseason, oh, we're going to make up for that. We're going to go back. We're going to win it this year. And then it all gets pulled off the table. So that's a really good point. Hey, they've got motivation. We wanted to play and we're getting our chance to play. Let's go. We have everything in front of us. Yeah, Ohio State's going to be really, really tough. All right, Rob, we have knocked out three of the big conferences. We've got one more to hit here, and then we're going to talk about a couple of the teams and a few other things. But next up, we get to the big dog of college football, the Southeastern Conference. Hey, I know the stereotype. The SEC is the hillbilly redneck smoking a cigar and lighting it with $100 bills. But let's not forget this. With all of the virus stuff happening, the SEC was the most measured, well thought out conference. They went to a conference only schedule. They pushed the start of their season back toward the end of September. So they have a couple of weeks to play with. They give themselves a chance to get all their games in. I know everyone likes to look at the SEC as the big jerks. And hey, they looked at this logically and they said, let's make the most smart decision we can make. We don't have to hurry. We don't have to cancel everything. Let's see what we can do. And let's make the most measured response that we have to this whole thing. I really like the leadership that I saw from the SEC, and I'm probably in the minority on that, but I thought they handled it better than a lot of the other conferences did.
I would agree with that. They, you know, took a measured approach, didn't panic, you know, waited it out, you know, took their time with it. And, you know, I think they seriously considered the best way to do it, the best way to finish the season.
Well, and they're getting started this weekend, and they're going to jump into conference play. We're going to see some big time matchups really, really fast. There's no prep. There's no preseason. There's no scrimmages. Jump in and start playing. We're going to find out real quick if you are the big dog, because the SEC, you're not going to get any, you know, warm-up dates or anything like that. There are some teams in the SEC, when I look at the schedule and I'm like, man, you got a tough draw. They did take care of some of their own in the SEC for sure. But Rob, how many contenders do you have in the SEC this year?
I've got three.
I've got three as well. And then I've got my champ. Who's your first contender up?
So this is the deepest one out of all of them. It's Tennessee.
I like Tennessee.
Yeah, they had a strong finish to last season. I think they won their last six or seven. And, you know, they've always over the past few seasons, have lost a bad game. You know, they start off pretty good and then they lose one or usually two or three that they shouldn't. But that's something, you know, could be corrected. And like I said, over the past, the way they ended last season coming into this season, I think they have a chance. I don't think they can win it all. But, I mean, that's a team that's not an easy out.
Well, and head coach Jeremy Pruitt, he's done a nice job of assembling some talent. And we know Tennessee has been paying for the sin of getting rid of Philip Fulmer for years, because you have a good coach. He's successful. Oh, he's not quite as good as we'd like. We think we deserve more than what Phil Fulmer. So they cut him and they grow through like decades of being completely irrelevant. It looks like Pruitt is finally getting that turned around. Hey, he's pulling in some big time recruits, not just Tennessee-wide, not just SEC-wide, nationally. He's pulling in some studs. Yeah, I could see Tennessee being a pain in that conference. They've got some talent. He's starting to do a pretty good job there. I'm going to put LSU on my contender list. I just think it's going to be really tough for them to get back to the level that they were a year ago, because they've just lost so many good players. Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson, obviously Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's a ton of talent to lose off that team. I know head coach Ed Orgeron, he's a great recruiter. I don't expect him to like go away. I'm just not confident enough to name them like a champion. But I think they'll be a contender. Like, LSU is still a big dog, no question about that.
Yeah, I would agree. Like I said, they lost 14 starters from last year's team. But again, this is, you know, a deep program, has always had a lot of talent. So, you know, yeah, I definitely wouldn't write them off like it seems like most people are.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay. They just won't be as good as they were a year ago. Who else do you have on your contender list?
My next one is your Florida Gators.
Yeah, they have a chance. That's a pretty good team.
Yeah, lots of their transfers, too. They got a lot. I think of three or four big-name transfers came in. And again, this is another team for the past couple seasons, you know, has been right there, right behind The Alabamas and the Georgia just kind of waiting. And, you know, I think they have good momentum. And with these transfers, if they can mesh with the team, you know, that's somebody to look out for.
Yeah, you know, head coach Dan Mullen, he's done a really good job of putting together a really, really talented defense. He has some blazing speed at the skill positions. And if you haven't seen him, quarterback Kyle Trask is one of the most accurate passers I've ever seen. He's not even that pretty. It's not that he throws a great ball. It's not that he has a huge arm. He puts the ball perfectly, exactly where he wants it. He's really, really accurate. The Gators have a chance for a special season. The problem is that SEC is going to be really, really tough. And like we talked about earlier, when you're playing teams that know you so well, there is a chance for a slip up. I could see the Gators slipping up. Plus, they've got someone else in their division that's going to be really, really tough. And that's my next contender. I've got Florida as a contender, but my next contender, my final contender, I'm not sure about their offense. We're going to have to see who ends up starting at quarterback, but the Georgia Bulldogs, they're going to be so good defensively. They can play with anyone in the country just because of how good they are defensively. Of the 19 defenders who played at least 200 snaps last year, 14 return again this year. You're not going to have to score much if you're Georgia because your defense is going to be so good. I think Georgia is definitely a contender. They're going to be able to contend for the SEC. I don't know if they can win it, but they're going to be in the hunt.
Yeah, that was actually the last one I had was Georgia was my number one contender for the same reason you said that the defense is still going to be good and Fromm is gone. So they're supposedly, you know, going to have a new look offense here. And so maybe you get someone in there, you know, that's not as cautious as Fromm was.
Yeah, is that a bad thing? Like, I like Fromm, but Fromm, yeah, it just felt like when the game was on the line, I never felt like I could count on Fromm to get it done.
Yeah, he seemed, you know, I would say a little cautious at times, especially in big games where sometimes you got to go for it and just take that chance. And he never really seemed to do that to me.
No. And it seemed the bigger the game, sometimes it seemed like he even took a step back.
Right.
And you almost were like, man, dude, what are you doing? You've got a lot of talent around you. You've got some really good players around you. And it seemed like Fromm didn't quite get it done in the clutch situations. I really like that defense, though. They're going to be great. Rob, we're going to go 4-for-4, aren't we? We're both going to agree on our SEC champion.
I think we are.
Once again, we're going to have the Alabama Crimson tied.
Yes, Alabama, once again, kind of like we talked about it in a season that's, you know, crazy with all, you know, all kind of things going on. It's a consistent program and a deep program, maybe more than, you know, anyone in the country that's deep, 2-3 spots deep at every position. So yeah. If something does weird happen, I mean, you're not going to lose any talent.
Well, and they've got some really, really good players. We always know Nick Saban, he's going to have a great defense, but running back Najee Harris, I think he's going to be a superstar if he stays healthy. That kid's got a ton. New quarterback Mac Jones, he's going to benefit from Harris being so good and from a pretty good offensive line coming back. So the drop-off there that we might expect, well, they no longer have Tua Tagovailoa. Well, no, I know, but they've got a lot of surrounding talent. They are a little bit deeper than some of the other schools. If the defense could just avoid a million injuries like they had a year ago, yeah, I think Alabama's probably going to win the SEC once again. What's new? I hate to just, you know, go strictly by the book. We rarely do this, but I think Alabama is the big dog. Rob, we've gone through the big conferences that are playing that are halfway relevant. Do you have any other contenders that are out there that you could even see getting into the mix?
Not really. I think we've covered everybody that has. I think it's going to be come from, you know, one of the big dogs, one of the traditional powerhouses.
Yeah, I could see that. And I'm going to throw out two schools. And I've watched them both play already this year. I don't think they can quite hang. I like the Cincinnati Bearcats in the AAC. They can put up some points. If you haven't seen running back Jared Doakes, kid is explosive. He's really, really fun. Maybe Cincinnati tries to make a push for like that group 5 inclusion in the playoff. And of course, we have to mention the University of Central Florida, also out of the AAC. They look like they can score a ton of points. Again, quarterback Dylan Gabriel, he lit up Georgia Tech this past Saturday for 400 yards, 4 touchdowns. Maybe UCF would be in a perfect spot to get a spot in the playoff this year where there's going to be less teams in contention. Somebody trips, somebody loses to a conference rival we didn't expect, and maybe UCF plays their way in. And you know what? Here's the thing. Even if they don't, they'll just get a banner and say that they did anyway. So what difference does it make? We'll just say UCF, you're going to the playoff. We're giving those away this year. So we'll put UCF in the playoff, even if they don't make it. Even if the Pac-12 comes back, I don't see them putting anyone even in contention. Same for the Mountain West and, you know, the MAC and that kind of thing. Rob, let's talk about the Heisman Trophy. I've got a few kind of runner-up contenders for the Heisman this year, And then I've got one winner for the Heisman. When you're looking at the Heisman this year, who are some of the guys you're thinking about maybe contending for it?
My first one we mentioned before, Spencer Rattler, QB OU. Just talent-wise, he's great. And, you know, we've seen what Lincoln Riley's done with QBs as far as Heismans go over the past couple seasons. So that's a guy in a good spot, in a good program that wouldn't be surprised at all.
I wouldn't either. And, you know, we're kind of looking at this season. We're kind of saying, hey, if things fall chalk, this is what's good. If we're looking at chalk, Spencer Rattler's the guy because Oklahoma quarterbacks just keep winning the award. That's just what happens apparently every year. So, that's a great call by you. Spencer Rattler should be kind of in the driver's seat for this whole thing because that's just what you do. You go to Oklahoma, you play quarterback, you get a Heisman Award. That's how this thing works. I'll throw out Alabama running back Najee Harris. I think he's going to have a big year, and I think he's going to carry that Alabama offense. But I also know running backs don't win this award. So we're up to your next contender.
That was actually my second one as well.
Was it Harris?
Yeah, it was Harris in a season where if they do give it to a running back, that's something, you know, Alabama likes to run the ball. And if he has a good season, you know, I could definitely see him getting it.
I'm going to throw out one other guy. I got to throw out Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields. We talked about this earlier. You said Ohio State was out there rallying, saying, hey, let us play, let us play. Justin Fields was heading that rally. He was the guy tweeting and trying to get people to say, hey, let Ohio State play. We can contend. I think Justin Fields has a lot on the line. I think he's going to have a huge year. I can see him contending for a Heisman. He could put up huge numbers. Justin Fields can beat you in a few different ways. I'm going to put him out there as well. And now I am down to my winner. Do you have any other contenders for the Heisman?
No, just my winner.
All right, Rob, we're going to agree on this too, aren't we?
I think we are.
He's the best player in the country that I've seen. And I've already watched him play twice this year. And I don't know how, but he looks even better. And I know they've played scrubs, but man, Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, he just looks like the real deal, the best true can't-miss quarterback that we've seen in the last few years.
Yeah, that's what I had with that ACC schedule. I think he'll cruise again. He's already been looking good. And I think, you know, he's starting off as the front runner, and I don't see any hiccups with that, especially, you know, in this converted season where you're just playing in conference where you won't see someone different, you know, until the playoffs.
Well, and the ACC is so bad this year and has been for the past few years that, yeah, he's probably not going to have that slip up because there's not a team out there that can get him to slip. I guess there's a couple teams out there, you know, North Carolina, we didn't expect that last year. I don't know if I can see that this year. Man, he looks so focused in. He looks so sharp on everything he does. He just looks like he's matured. It looks like he's been playing all offseason. Man, whoever gets that kid next year in the NFL, I think you've got a star for years to come. But yeah, I'm going to say Trevor Lawrence wins the Heisman Trophy. All right, Rob, we're getting to crunch time here. We're coming down to the end. Playoff committee is going to have to pick four teams. What four teams are we going to have playing in the college football playoff in 2020 going into 2021? I've got four teams, and I don't know if they make a bit of sense, but I'm going to throw out four teams. Let's match our teams up and see how we look here. Who is your first team getting into the college football playoff?
The number four spot coming in is going to be Oklahoma.
I have got Oklahoma as well. I have them as my three, but I've got Oklahoma as well. If you win the Big 12, you're probably going to have a shot because there's going to be three, maybe four, possibly even five ranked teams that you've beaten. So you have a pretty decent resume. I've got Oklahoma getting in as well. Like I said, I have them as my three. You've got them as your four, but Oklahoma is in. Who do you have next?
My next is Georgia.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I actually had Georgia at number four. Georgia was my number four team getting into the playoff. Hey, if Georgia goes through the SEC like they should and they win those games, they're going to be right there. Even if you lost, say, an SEC championship game, we have seen the committee looks at the SEC as just a notch above everyone else. Yeah, Georgia has a real good chance to get in, even if they did lose that game. Rob, we're going two for two here. Are we going to agree on every single thing today? All right, who do you have as your number two seed?
Alabama.
We're just gonna agree on every single thing here. I've got Alabama as well. Alabama wins the SEC. They're getting in, which means we have one team left. There's no disagreement here, right?
Yeah.
We're going with the big dog.
Yeah, Clemson.
Clemson gets in. And you know, Rob, I had Ohio State down. I was going to put them in. Even, I know they're just coming back, all this stuff. Here's the reason I took them out. I can easily see the conference canceling multiple games. Again, not even for people testing positive, but just for the contract tracing stuff. And if they only end up playing like 6 games, we're going to see the committee talking about, like, they're going to come up with like a term. They're going to be like, well, we're looking at Ohio State and we feel like they just don't have enough of minimum quality games. There is some silly term that's going to be really popular in like the sports vernacular for like 2 weeks when they're deciding on, well, I don't know what you do. They can't get enough minimum games in because of the pandemic. I can easily see that. And then the Big Ten is going to be back under their beds and they're not going to be able to come out. And I think the Big Ten might hurt Ohio State's chances.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Like I said, they're coming back with 8 games in 8 weeks. And so they don't have any wiggle room to miss a game. And what if you miss a couple of games? And I just think that could fall apart really fast. I mean, I think they, kind of like we mentioned before, they kind of gave up on the season, called it quits too early. And then now they're late coming back, kind of rush something to get it done. And I just think on both sides of it, they just haven't really thought everything through and just kind of feels like they're almost making it up as they go. And like I said, I hope it doesn't happen, but I could definitely see it falling apart on them.
I could too. And like you said, I hope for the kids' sake it doesn't happen. I hope we get the best teams in it. I hope the best teams are allowed to play and that they're smart and that they're measured, but make intelligent decisions. Don't just, go off of emotion or off of silliness. Make a smart decision that isn't going to crush these kids' season. I just worry that the Big Ten is going to do that. So then, in your final game, who do you have winning the college football title this year?
I'm going to go with Clemson winning it all.
Over?
I'm taking Clemson over Georgia.
I've got Clemson over Oklahoma, which after last year with Oklahoma and the showing they had against LSU, I think Oklahoma plays them a little bit closer. But I have Clemson beating Oklahoma in the championship. We both have the Clemson Tigers winning it all. But if they roll through that ACC, there's no reason that they can't do exactly that. They're going to be a load. I know when we're laying this out, it looks like, well, there's not going to be any upsets. Here's the thing. These are 18 and 19-year-old kids. There are going to be upsets. There are going to be days that maybe they don't feel like playing, or days that they're thinking about their girlfriend, or days they're worried about their parents at home and did they get the virus or whatever. Kids slip up and you're going to see upsets that we never saw coming. It's going to happen. I guarantee it. I'll call it right now. We will see upsets. But Rob, right now, you and I are just looking down the line going, yep, it's going like this, this, this. We agreed on every single thing today.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, there definitely, can be some upsets, especially in this season, with the COVID. If someone can't play this week or, there's just an added level of uncertainty this season that could make things very interesting.
Rob, here's a question I have for you. We haven't talked about this. If you had tickets this year to a big game, say you had tickets to West Virginia playing at Oklahoma, and you could go, would you go see a game in person this year?
Oh, I think I might.
Yeah.
I think I might.
Oh. I mean, you're witnessing history. You're getting to view it in a totally different way. Everybody throws a mask on and you just go. They probably space you out or whatever. But yeah, I think more people will go than I think people thought would.
I agree. I think you put the mask on and, if you're in your section, if it's not crowded, pack to pack, shoulder to shoulder. I think I would put the mask on and check it out.
All right, Rob, we've wrapped up college football, but before you leave, I got to get a couple thoughts from you. We're looking at the NBA. We're looking at the NFL. Did our NFL preview show a couple weeks back, and I want to get your thoughts real quickly. NBA is now down to their final four. We've got Denver and the Lakers. We've got the Heat and the Celtics. Who are you seeing coming out in the NBA?
Oh, man. Well, I originally had Clippers and Celtics.
Yep.
Obviously, Clippers are gone. Starting with the East, I'm still going to stick with the Celtics. I mean, Miami has been surprising, completely surprising to me.
Yeah,
it's just, I think the total team, like just the way they play as a team. And even though Jimmy Butler's a star, he doesn't play like it in the sense that, he doesn't need to get up his shots. He doesn't need the ball. He can completely fits into the offense.
That's true.
But Celtics, I don't know, they haven't been able to close out the game. I mean, they get up big all the time, even in the series before this. I mean, they've got the big leads and for whatever reason, it always ends up a tight game.
Yeah.
But just from a talent 1-5, I think they have the talent to go through. So I'm still going to stick with the Celtics. And on the other side, I think you have to go Lakers. I mean, it could be destiny. Again, that's another team that surprised the Nuggets, put it all together. I think outside of LeBron and Anthony Davis, I like the Nuggets roster better, outside of those two.
Right. But again, those two are so good. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just don't, like I said, I just don't think they have enough right now. And especially with LeBron, I mean, I think he's so close now, so he's going to focus all the way in. And also Rajon Rondo. I think him coming back has really changed that, kind of give them that third man that they really needed.
Yeah, he's been big, and he's been playing so much better than I expected him to down the stretch. I'm right there with you. The Heat are starting to kind of turn me here. Man, the Heat are looking really, really solid. Mm-hmm. Lakers, again, I think it's just those top two are so much better than anyone the Nuggets have. I like the Nuggets team better. I just think those two are just way, way, way too good. Yeah, NBA is going to be interesting to watch as it unfolds. What are you seeing so far in the NFL? Who are you liking in the NFL right now?
We'll just stay with our chalk team. I think the favorites. Kansas City looks good.
Yeah.
Just that offense, I think it's still humming. Still not sure about the defense. But again, if the defense can improve or just, get a little bit better, I still think that offense is going to be tough to stop. And then I still like the Ravens coming back.
Yeah, the Ravens are going to be really tough. Who do you like over the NFC? That's the side that I really struggled with this year was the NFC.
I don't know. The same. Like I said, I initially picked my Eagles looking good, but they have not had a good start to the season.
They can't protect Carson Wentz. Wentz just gets killed every time he goes out there.
And injuries as well, too. Yeah. I think the injuries again. There's a lot of hype about the Cowboys on paper. Right. I could see it, but it's still the Cowboys.
Still the Cowboys. They're still an 8-8 team at the end of the day, aren't they? Yeah, maybe it's the Saints. Now the Niners have some injuries. Maybe the Saints. You know who is a couple teams that are kind of standing out to be a little bit sneaky? Buffalo Bills kind of warming up to the Bills a little bit. They're a little bit sneaky. And you know who's really surprised me? The Arizona Cardinals. I'm not sure I buy in on them yet, but they're at least entertaining.
Yeah, the Cardinals and especially the Bills, too, that you mentioned, too. Josh Allen, well, only, 2 games into the season, but looks a little bit better, just more confident. I think he's, seen his reads better. So that is and that defense is still good, is still good, too. So that could be an interesting team as well.
Well, Rob, right now we have the busiest sports time that I can ever remember. We just have so many things going on. It's just crazy. It's nonstop. You're going to have to come in again here soon and talk about what has happened as we get further into college football. We'll have you back in for that. We might have to have you come talk some college hoops, some NFL. The great thing about Big Rob, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that he can talk anything. He knows sports. He loves sports. He's all in on it. Rob, thank you again for coming in and doing our college football preview. You're becoming a veteran at doing this preview every single year. We appreciate you stopping by the Daily Dose. We love all the things that you contribute to the Daily Dose. Hey, folks, this is the I-Team president right here. Thank you so much, Big Rob, for coming in.
No problem. Anytime.
Hey, next week on the Dose, do you realize that the Major League Baseball playoffs are set to start next week? We will try to get you ready for what should be a very interesting postseason. It's going to be wild. It's really, really different. With all the rule changes and the shortened season, the MLB playoffs are going to be crazy. Plus, we'll be doing our best to try to keep you up to date with all of the sports that are going on right now. And there is a lot happening. So you got to make sure that you stop by the Daily Dose. Hey, don't forget to go over to YouTube. Subscribe to our Daily Dose channel. Feel free to like a few of those videos when you do. Have to say thank you so much to Daily Dose I-Team President Big Rob for all that you contribute to the Daily Dose. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for subscribing to that YouTube channel and giving us some positive ratings wherever it is that you listen to the Daily Dose. But more than anything, thank you so much for sharing the show with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great week, everybody. I will see you all next Wednesday.
So I says, yeah, if you want that money, come and find it, because I don't know where it is, you baloney. You make me want to wretch.